Hello and welcome to this Fraser of Allender podcast. My name is Emma Congreve and I'm joined today by my colleagues James Black and Mary Sparridge to talk about some of the issues that have come up this week and some of the issues raised in our business monitor, which we also released earlier this week. So first, just turning to you, Mary, do you want to tell us a little bit about the business monitor and why we do it?
The Business Monitor is a quarterly survey that we carry out with around 500 businesses in Scotland. The purpose of the survey is to understand how businesses are feeling about their the last 3 months of activity and how they're feeling about the outlook as well. We do this in partnership with the law firm Addleshaw Goddard. And it allows us to speak to businesses on a regular basis and get kind of leading indicators of activity. So the issue with more traditional measures like GDP, obviously, is that it's a bit lagged. And so this gives us a feel for, in much more real time, how businesses are feeling about the wider economic conditions and how they're kind of looking in terms of activity and turnover and outlook for employment and things like that. Each quarter, we also ask them about hot issues in policy. So what they're thinking about the latest big issues. Obviously, in the last few editions of the Business Monitor, this has been focused on the pandemic and the lockdown, and a lot about how they're changing the ways of working to be able to adapt to this kind of new situation that they find themselves in.
Great. Okay. So what did the Business Monitor tell us this time round, James? So, I mean, one of the key things we're looking out for is indicators of how businesses are feeling about the economy. So do you want to speak a little bit about business confidence and what we learned?
Sure, yeah. So our latest Business Monitor was for the third quarter of the year. So that covers July to September. Obviously, these results come at a time of really high uncertainty for businesses operating in both Scottish and UK economies. And what our latest Business Monitor shows is that activity in Scotland remains low compared to normal levels, but there's actually been an improvement on the second quarter, so over the summer, of what we were seeing. And this actually mirrors the announcement this week of the of seeing third quarter growth of 15.5% in the UK. And this growth is of course welcome, but it's not really surprising to many of us that businesses are still very concerned about economic as well as policy uncertainty over the coming months. In particular, many firms are operating at much lower levels than it would be in normal times. There has again been an improvement over the summer, but we're still seeing that one in every four businesses is operating at under 50% capacity. And we can all imagine the amount of financial strain that this puts on these businesses.
So, in a way, it's not surprising that that things were a bit better over the summer, given how bad things were beforehand. And obviously, some are calling it a bit of a bounce back in GDP. It potentially is just slightly a less worse situation than was in operation the quarter before. And of course, now we've come into winter, there's again going to be probably a hit to growth due to additional restrictions. So that's what's showing up, I'm assuming, in business confidence, thinking about the months ahead. And it will be different for different sectors, no doubt. And we've talked previously about the potential existence of some kind of K-shaped recession. Or recovery, in fact, where some sectors come out of things relatively unscathed and others remain struggling for a long time. So what did the Business Monitor tell us about sectors, the experience of the pandemic and of the recovery so far?
Yeah, so certainly different sectors have had very different responses. I think, well, we've seen construction go from the most pessimistic sector in summer the most optimistic sector in the third quarter of the year. But unsurprisingly, a combination of food services, so hotels, restaurants, bars, they remain one of the hardest hit industries. And it's not surprising given how exposed they are to COVID restrictions. Just looking at overall, we asked businesses how they expected employment to change between the end of October and the end of the year. And just to note that this was before the latest extension of the furlough. At this point, about 40% of businesses expected to make redundancies. And of these, 23% expected it between 1 and 10% of their staff, with the remainder thinking this would be higher. And for the staff that remain, about one in every three businesses said they planned on reducing their hours. And in accommodation and food services, this has been even more extreme. So around over two in every three businesses expect to make redundancies by the end of the year. Over two in every three businesses expect to reduce the hours of their remaining staff. And two in every three businesses say their cash flow is insecure or very insecure. So what remains to be seen is how employment will fare under the new tiered system and with this extension of furlough.
We're going to touch a little bit on the new labour market statistics a little bit later, but certainly we're still waiting to see the full kind of feed through of these impacts into the labour market. But clearly a lot of businesses are thinking about redundancies, and it seems unlikely in a way that there's going to be much that will happen in the next months that will really change the way businesses are feeling about that. Obviously, once the pandemic starts to recede and a vaccine hopefully starts to become more available, things might start to change, but that still feels very uncertain. But maybe thinking ahead slightly more positive potentially, but probably not completely. So businesses are adaptable. That's one of the great things about our economy is that it private firms are able to respond and adapt to circumstances. Not all will survive, but those who do will probably do so because they've been able to think about how they're working and change to suit the situation around them. And some of those changes might last into the future as well. So Mary, what did the Business Monitor talk about in terms of ways of working and how businesses are thinking about that?
Yeah, so our last Business Monitor for quarter two had quite a lot of analysis in it about how firms had adapted in terms of technology. So the new technology they'd adopted in order to adapt the way they were working. And we saw that a lot of businesses had sort of accelerated their plans for adopting different forms of technology. And that many of them obviously had used particularly digital platforms for engaging and meetings and things like that. What we asked them this time was about home working. Now, obviously, that's been a big change in a lot of sectors. Now, there are a lot of sectors where that's not possible, of course. But, almost three quarters of businesses had seen an increase in home working during the period of the pandemic. But what was really interesting was their views on how productive or otherwise this made their staff. There's been a lot of debate about the positives and negatives of working at home. But almost half of businesses disagreed that home working improved productivity, and only 10% agreed with that. And I thought that was really interesting, that in general they were fairly negative about the improvement in any improvement in productivity. And over half of businesses agreed that it made it difficult to performance manage staff, and that had negatively impacted on sort of collaboration and workplace innovation. So this is quite an interesting finding, I think, thinking forward to the new normal, the way we're going to change work in future. There's obviously been research recently released showing that many employees are not expecting to work in the office at least full time, after this is all over. But I just think it's really interesting, the business view of working at home, at least in our survey, was fairly negative. Mm. Another interesting finding is that over a quarter of businesses agree that this is going to lead them to permanently reduce their office footprint, which obviously has wider implications for city centres and so on. So lots of interesting stuff there on home working and the views of businesses.
Mm. Suppose, I mean, that's the view of business at the moment, but for employees, some of them will be struggling from working from home, but others will be feeling that it makes life much more manageable. And actually there may be some improvements to kind of overall well-being and you know, potentially productivity over a longer period of time. And it's quite interesting that businesses feel that on the whole, it's potentially been bad for productivity, yet they themselves are thinking of reducing office space. So yes. Clearly it's not quite as you know, clear cut as that. I think, see, there's cost implications for business, but also they probably do understand that for some of their workforce this will be better in the long term, but it will probably just take quite a long time to adjust to that different way of working. So that's that. I mean, that's really fascinating. And the more we understand about that in the next few while, the better. So what else did businesses say in terms of how they've felt that the crisis has been handled, particularly from a government point of view? I think we asked questions about how they've viewed both the UK and the Scottish government response. So do you want to speak a little bit about that?
Yeah, I mean, this is really interesting stuff, both seeing how it's kind of changing over time and the different views of the business community on how the different governments have handled it. Obviously, we've heard a lot from different research about the public's view of how different governments are handling this. But the business view is maybe a little bit different. I'd say overall, the view in terms of how the Scottish and UK government are handling the crisis has worsened since quarter two, which I don't think is that surprising given, you know, the reintroduction of restrictions. I'd say that business generally is more positive about how the Scottish government have handled the public health crisis than the UK government. They tended to score better on that measure. But when we turn to how the government is understanding the challenges that businesses face or how they've supported businesses, the UK government get much better ratings than the Scottish government, which I think is a really interesting finding. It's worth saying, you know, on the measure on understanding the challenges that businesses face, a significant proportion of businesses in Scotland gave the Scottish government a rating of 0 out of 10. So we asked them to kind of rate between 0 and 10. And, you know, so there's obviously quite a lot of feeling out there about exactly how, you know, how well the Scottish government maybe understand the challenges that businesses are facing. And that was quite a stark finding for us. It's really interesting when we think ahead to the Scottish budget, which obviously has now been confirmed for the 28th of January. I think a lot of businesses will be looking for what plans the Scottish government are going to set out to actually support recovery. So it will be really fascinating to see how businesses feel in their next business monitor about how the Scottish government has kind of risen to that challenge.
Yeah, and of course it's not a simple story of necessarily Scottish government not doing enough. For some that will be the case, in other it will just be the kind of the stark difference between the amount of support that's come out via the UK government compared to Scotland, but that reflects the devolution settlement as well. So it's obviously, you know, it's not clear necessarily from these responses exactly what lies behind all of that. But yeah, it's a very interesting finding, and you know, perceptions are particularly important for like planning ahead and feeling confident for businesses about what's coming up. And yeah, the budget no doubt will be a big test of that. So thanks both. We were just thinking a little bit about what else has been going on this week, and apart from the obvious very important football match, we also had some very exciting new statistics out on the labour market, which it's worth talking about a little bit, even though we're still at that stage where some of these headline statistics, you know, GDP and the labour market, Not only are they lagged in terms of kind of reporting on what's happened, they're also potentially not the best guide of, you know, exactly what is happening at the moment and how businesses and consumers are, and people who work in the labour market are feeling and fearing about the next couple of months ahead. So Mari, do you just want to talk a little bit about the labour market statistics and, you know, how we should be interpreting them at this point in time?
Yeah, so these statistics cover the 3 months of September, and what they're showing is pretty much unchanged in terms of the unemployment rate. And this can seem, as you said, quite strange, given what we know is going on in the wider economy. But given obviously the furlough scheme was still in place then, you know, really a lot of the pain, I suppose, for individuals is coming down the track. I mean, there's a lot of other indicators which, as you mentioned, Emma, give us a better feel for what's happening. If you look at things like claimant count, that was a better guide, particularly through the early period of the pandemic, but also data like on forthcoming redundancies tells us there's a lot of pain that's coming kind of in the post. James mentioned in the Business Monitor, you know, there was a lot of expectation from business that they would reduce employment between now and the end of the year. As he said, that was before the extension to the furlough scheme, but a lot of those things may well have already have happened anyway, given the how late the extension was announced. And although people who were made redundant could be hired back in order to benefit from the furlough scheme, it just demonstrates that there's still a lot of pain to come for individuals. So certainly the labour market statistics shouldn't be in no way sort of heartening, if you like. You know, they shouldn't reassure us that everything's fine, because it's not going to be fine. And there's still a lot of people who are in danger of losing their jobs over the next few months.
And I think that's also true when we look at things like the 15% increase in GDP at the UK level. You know, that's it seems extraordinary, but actually put that into the wider context of what's going on and what we know is still to come, then we get a slightly different view of the world. And it's a shame to finish on such a gloomy note, but that's where we are just now. So I'd like to say thank you to James and Mari. We will hopefully be continuing to release more information on both statistics releases and other data on the Scottish economy on our website at fraservallender.org. And we also always welcome any questions or comments that you may have. So please go to the website and contact us via our email address on there. And you never know, we may be able to answer some of those questions on future podcasts. So thank you, and I hope to see you again soon.